Good morning, everybody. Everybody have a good week? All right. Well, happy 4th to everyone. I remember a few years ago, I guess it's been many now, but 2012, I spent the 4th of July in a classroom in England, and the professor got up and to do his talk, one of his talks, because there were 7 talks in the day, and there at the conference, and he said, I noticed there's quite a few Americans here, and it's the 4th of July. He goes, I take it all is forgiven? I don't know about you, but there is no greater country, I think, ever been on the planet than what we know as our country. And that makes it so sad to see what is taking place in our country. Not just for the men and women who have served and lost their life, but just the values and the, and obviously that's enough in itself, but also the values and the principles. We think about what all has taken place in the past and what will be lost. I think we also need to be as much about thinking about the cost of the future. Because, you know, many, like myself, I'm in halftime in life. Many of you are third, fourth quarters, not going to see the fruition of all that's taking place now, but your kids and grandkids will. What's 2050 going to look like? Right? And a lot of times people think when you have a holiday like this, you know, you want the pastor to say something special about something in reference. And oftentimes I will. But we're going to continue on the love series today, because I don't think you can actually talk about freedom in the sense of absolutes without getting this point right. Does that make sense? Because you can't have real freedom without truth. You can't have real freedom without understanding what love is. Love is not a version of your ideas or my ideas. Love is what only the Creator, who is love. You know, there's God created the world and He designed it, but He's not the world. He sustains the world, but He's not the world. But the subject matter that we're speaking of in the last 4 or 5 months in regards to love is not something that God does. It's something that He is. You see the difference? That's at a whole other level. And so, as we've gone through 1 Corinthians 13, we've talked about the first 3 verses, the importance of love. Then we got into the attributes of love. Love is patient. Love is kind. And then quickly it turns to what love does not or is not. It does not envy. It's not rude. It does not dishonor. It's not self-seeking. It doesn't boast. It's not proud. And then last week we got into what love always. So, and it's important to see those categories. Love is, love is not, love always. Now, last week I spoke of that love always is kind of that default position. It's the reboot. When you get kind of far away from home base and you're like, I'm kind of lost out here. How do I find my way home? We hit the default button and we reboot. And I think that these last 4 attributes of love always is the reboot button. It's how we come home. And last week I spoke, and I'm going to pick up there. We spoke to some length on love protects. Love protects. And we connected that the line before is love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. And how guilty all of us are, and how we have in our sinful nature rejoiced or delighted in evil and not rejoiced in truth. Right? And you can immediately see the connection in Paul's mind, being directed and guided by the Spirit, that love protects. And the greatest element that we can use to protect, our greatest resource, is not a gun, it's not a sword, it's not a bow and arrow, it's not a knife, it's truth. Truth is our greatest resource to protect. I would say, sadly, most of us live in a delusion type life, where we have separated ourselves from the reality. And let me just remind us, truth, the relationship between truth and reality. Reality is what actually is. It's what God made, right? That's reality. And truth is basically the filter in which we understand reality. So if someone says there's two suns in our solar system, we would say what? That is not true because the evidence does not support that statement, right? And that statement's often, you may hear it called a maxim. So the evidence doesn't support the maxim, therefore it's not true, and therefore it tells us something about reality. But if you and I separate ourselves from truth, then what else are we separating ourselves from? Reality. And here's the thing, you and I can't escape reality, but you and I can sure separate ourselves from reality in here, and therefore we begin to make decisions that don't coincide with reality. Does that make sense, everybody? I know this is a little early, right? To jump off on the deep end. But this is an important thing for us to get because it's what keeps counselors in business. It's because people have failed to learn to be thinkers, right? We get emotionally driven and we make, how many of us are guilty of filling in the blanks, right? Whatever that is, we don't know. We just want to figure it. We don't know, but so we just, I think it's probably this. And it may not be that at all. But according to where you're at in your thinking, we fill in the blanks, and then sometimes reality speaks back and says, no, you just completely got it wrong. And that's why sometimes we need to go to a counselor, a third party, to go, help sort me out. Because I think my delusion has got twisted tighter than 8 day clock, right? And I can't imagine how to get back, how to sort myself back. Well, that is what this love always is. Love protects. Love protects. If you and I say we love something, we should be willing to protect that something. Amen? And one of the things I think that has gotten the world confused about Christianity is that we say we love Jesus, but we don't protect him. Right? And how would we protect Jesus? By promoting his truth. By clarifying when people, quote, have all these misnomers about Christ, that we go, well, not to be rude, but that's not exactly what the Bible says. This delusional thinking that Jesus was always nice. That's not true. Jesus was always loving, but he did not always appear nice because his audience was in delusional thinking. When you read it, as I referenced last week, Matthew 23, when Jesus says, you brood of snakes, you vipers, you are like whitewashed stones that appear beautiful on the outside, but on the inside you're filled with dead men's bones. You're self-righteous in every way. You'll travel over land and sea to win a single convert, and then when you win him, you're making twice as fit for hell as you are. Does that sound nice? Not at all. But we have gotten so sensitive about the idea of truth. Now, again, this is not about hurting anybody's feelings, but Jesus was willing to hurt feelings for the treasure he knew that truth would be. And sometimes when we love people, to protect them from themselves, we have to have those kind of set downs with them and say, hey, I know this is going to sting a bit. And the best way to have that conversation is to preface that way. When clients would come in that third or fourth session, and I knew we were going to have to really have that rubber meet the road kind of conversation, because basically it was a way to pull them out of their delusion, which helped them feed their addiction, and pull them back into reality, it was going to sting a bit. Because basically what you're doing is holding a mirror up to that person so they can see themselves for themselves. Because we all like to see our image a little better than it really is. whether that's emotionally, dang sure, physically, right? I mean, you ever look in the mirror and go, dadgummit, is that really what I look like? Then you want to go out and give the world an apology, if you're me. But the truth of it is that love protects. There was a man named Os Guinness. He's one of the enormous Christian speaker on the Christian worldview in government. Spends half his time, he's from Britain, spends half his time in America, half his time in England. And he said that when he was raising his son, they would play a game on catch the folly. You know, and that's a kind of an English way to put it. But so when they were watching TV or listening to radio or listening to someone talk, they would try to, he was teaching him critical thinking. Point out the folly. Because he wanted to teach his kids how to identify truth and how to identify when it wasn't true. Because the greatest gift that you can give your children is not security, it's truth. In truth, they will find security, but whatever you think security is may not be true. Does that make sense? The greatest gift you can give them is truth. Because whatever security you might provide will end when they die. But truth will last forever. Truth will last forever. Because God is truth. Amen? So it's an important thing that the reality that, as I said last week, that the world has evangelized the church. We have brought in the maxims that the world says is true into the church and trying to function. And we wonder why there's so many dysfunctional churches. Makes complete sense if we analyze and realize that most churches are not following the Bible. They're just not. I mean, I'm mesmerized at how many churches say, oh, we believe in the Word of God. The Bible says there's two major offices in leadership, elders and deacons. And most churches don't have both. They'll have a pastor and deacons, or they'll have elders and no deacons. But it's in black and white. And it ain't a controversial, tough passage. It ain't like we're getting this out of the book of Revelation. If we don't follow Christ in the details of the simple things, how in the world can we be faithful when it gets a little tougher? Because we haven't seen or realized the importance of truth. Because we don't see how much truth protects. And that's what love does. I mean, if someone goes to the edge of a cliff, rock cliff, and they believe in their mind that they could fly, would you say that they are delusional? Yeah. And what if they begin to lean off and you just, I mean, clothesline them? Right? What if you clothesline them to protect them from jumping off the cliff? You've done a very loving thing. Even though to them it may not have felt that way. But if you get up there and go, well, now, you know, let's talk about this. Let's bear our feelings. And well, in the immediacy of the moment, you don't have time to parse feelings, but you do have time to protect them. I used to help teach swimming lessons when I was younger. And what they would teach you was if you had somebody that was, you know, in complete panic mode, you had the right to knock them out. Because you don't want them taking you under. That's what protection looks like sometimes. And we've got to get it in our mind because we live in such a codependent society that has been evangelized into the church that we think everything's supposed to look like that. And that's why so many families look so dysfunctional. Because we won't have hard discussions. We treasure unhealthy relationships over the truth. You can't control your family members like I can't control mine. The only thing that we can do is be open and honest about the truth. And the only way that we're truly going to be a family, because I believe family is more than blood or name, It's about people who identify with truth, who are going in the same direction as in life. Does that make sense? Love protects. For God so loved the world that he was willing to make a way to protect us from us by offering forgiveness through only what he could do. Which brings us to the next subject. Love always trusts. Now, when you read that on the surface, if you're like me, I'm like, well, that's a bit naive. Anybody read that way? That's a bit naive. And I don't think that it's that Paul is saying love checks your brain in at the door. Not at all. But the default position is love desires to trust. I would say the majority of us in here have broken trusters. And we are okay with it. Because it has become our identity. Does that make sense? When you hear people say, well, isn't that just like them? Whatever that them is trying to describe, whether that's men or women or a race or whatever, that's an emotional wound coming up. Does that make sense? That's just like them. Well, you haven't met all of them to know that, right? You just haven't. Nobody has. But what an emotional wound will do is it will take the wounds of a few and project it on the whole. That's how it works. And that's the way most of us navigate life. So what happens is we take our few experiences and now we have blockaded people groups because we're afraid of getting hurt again. Let me say this. If you're going to live life, you're going to get hurt. If you're going to live life, you're going to get hurt. And if you're afraid of getting hurt, you'll never live life. You'll never live life. I was watching one of my favorite movies. This may shock you, but Braveheart. And I love this line. He says, all men die, but not all really live. When I was a kid, and I was the only child, spent a lot of time horseback, my chores, thinking, I just thought, man, there's a big old world out there. And a lot of my childhood, because of the chores we had and the kind of cattle we had, I was scared to death. And I'm a person that hates to be afraid of anything. There's a lot of things that can scare you. I just don't like to live in that place. I want to go confront it. I want to go try it. And one of my fears was, what if I never went and tried the things that I wanted to? And then when I'm old in the rocking chair drooling on myself, you know, I'd be thinking, look at all those regrets I had, right? And it doesn't mean that when you trust that you don't get hurt, but you begin to trust God to help you when you do get hurt. And that makes it worth the risk. Does that make sense? And love always trusts. Because when I say I love God, I must always what? Trust. I trust Trista. She's out today or this morning because she had a bad headache. But I trust her because I love her. Now, you can put trust in people and they're going to fail you because they're sinners. But the default position to come back to a healthy relationship is what? That both parties are trusting each other. Because if we're going to live in love, to live in love and not trust is not love, according to the Bible. Because love always what? Trust. And when there's a lot of mistrust or reasons not to trust, it's an identifier that the relationship is not rooted in what? In love. Love desires to trust. Because, and this gets in the very root of who you and I are. You and I are created in God's image. And God is a being in community. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And they eternally have trusted each other. Does that make sense? And the reason that you and I need relationships, because none of us are very good hermits. Now, I mean, that's, you know, there's times where we go, man, I don't want to see another human. You ever been there? Oh, yeah. I mean, you don't want to hear the phone call. You don't get a text on. I mean, you don't want to see another human. But then after you go away a while, then you're like, well, I kind of miss those conversations. Or I kind of miss this or that. Because you and I need each other. Because we were made in the image of God. Because God is a being in community within himself, you and I were designed for community. We were designed for fellowship. Does that make sense? And because we were designed for fellowship, we were designed to be in a relationship where trust was given and received. Does that make sense? Because God is what? Love. God is love. Someone asked, does God trust us? And I heard an answer that I liked. God wants to trust us in every way. That's why he entrusted his son to us, even though we as humans killed him. He has still made a way that those who have placed their trust in Christ, God trusts them. It gets pretty deep, doesn't it? It gets into areas where we go, man, I don't deserve that. That's right. That's just how good God is. There may be some who lack trust in their lives because of previous wounds, but those being controlled by the love of God will not let their traumas become their final authority. What did I say last week? The two things that motivate people to change are what? Truth and trauma. When people begin to have an appetite for truth and they see the importance of truth, they'll begin to, search it out. What's true about life? The other thing is trauma. Because sometimes we get so hard-headed and hard-hearted that it takes a trauma to knock us loose from whatever we're trusting in. Many of us today are trusting more in ourselves than anything else, even though we have a track record of not being so good at it. Anybody relate to that? We're trusting in ourselves more than we're trusting in anything. And some of us are trusting in the fact that we know we'll let ourselves down. We just trust that. And all of a sudden now we have all this self-esteem issues and all these kind of things. There was a book when I took a class in pastoral counseling, and there was a book, I can't think of the title of it, but it was about how understanding God's love begins to heal all our wounds. Because God's love is the final say, not the source of our traumas. Not the source of our traumas. The fact that there is a lack of trust shows the work of love seeks to heal. Love seeks to trust, which is the root of faith. Why does love always trust? Because trusting is what faith is. Does that make sense? How can I say I love Christ but don't trust him? You see? But how many of us evidentially live just that way? Oh, I love Jesus. And Jesus says, hey, we need to remove this out of our life, or you need to engage this in your life. We're like, well, I don't know about all that. Just get me to heaven and leave me alone. Right? It gets down in those uncomfortable places. Because when we begin to realize the power and the magnitude and the majesty of God's love, it ain't all care bears and butterflies. It ain't all warm feelings, because where we are and where God meets us is not where we ought to be. There's work to be done. There's wounds to be healed. There's trusters to be fixed. I mean, today a lot of people are out on the lake and they got nice, I pulled up there at the donut shop, get me a biscuit a while ago. There's a nice pickup. There's a nice boat, right? And you can have both of those nice things. But if you don't have that little bitty trailer hitch, it's functionless. It's going to be a bad day, right? You got the way to get the boat there, and you got the boat to do it with. But if you don't have that little piece of iron about like that, that's got a ball on it that you can hook up, it's pointless. And that's the way a lot of us are living our life. Man, we've got all the ingredients for a wonderful Christ-centered life, but our truster's broken. We can't put it all together, you see? We can't put it all together. There's no connection in our lives. We're just living all these divided areas. There's church life. There's home life. There's work life. There's relationship life. All these things. We can't put it all together because our truster's broken. We may trust God, okay, I'll give you the church life, God, but not the finances and not the kids and not the spouse. Those are mine. I'm going to work those out. I'll get back with you on it. No, if we say we love God, it is so closely related to surrender. And I'm going to read a verse to prove it. It is so closely related to surrender that we've got to have all those little trailer hitches that put all of our life together so that God's love can reign supreme in all areas. And where we struggle with trust, that's the area we need to work on the most. That might look like, okay, I struggle to trust this person. That might mean I need to put up a boundary. Lord knows we need to learn boundaries, do we not? I need to put up a boundary. Or if we're struggling with trusting someone, it might mean that I need to go back into my inventory and allow God through his love to heal my wounds that I'm now projecting on a relationship that could be very healthy for me. But I can't allow it that because I'm dragging the past into the present. Does that make sense? You see, when we allow all elements of our life to be open and we pour the love of God over it, God will heal our traumas through his truth because of his love. Because of his love. Listen to Proverbs chapter 3. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Not part of your heart, not with some of your heart, not even with 99.9% of your heart. Our goal is to trust the Lord with all our heart. And do not rely on your own understanding. How many of us say, okay, God, I'll give you this because I don't know that much about that. But the areas of our life that we lack trust the most is the areas that we feel like we know the most. Does that make sense to everybody? We give God the areas of our life that, I don't know, your guess is as good as mine, Lord. But those areas that we feel like that we can handle it, that we know it, we don't trust God that much. But the Bible says, trust the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Or another way, do not rely on your own insight. In all your ways, acknowledge him. In all areas of your life, let God be God. And he will make your path straight. What I've seen so many times as a counselor, as a pastor, in the lives of individuals is their paths are not straight. They look like a mixed master. Doubling back over each other. Their paths aren't straight because they're trusting themselves rather than they are trusting the Lord. What I see so much in our society right now is a mixmaster, a clash of ideas, a clash of different philosophies trying to find out which one's going to rule the day. Sometimes we label them liberal. Sometimes we label them conservative. I think we think about right and left, we forget there's an up and down. I think the only way we can classify them is what is true and what is not. We Christians have got to start being the light and salt. We've got to start demonstrating and illustrating that love is willing to dive into the messiness of people's lives because God was willing to dive in the messiness of our lives. As I've said over and over again, and nearly every Sunday, we're called light and salt for a reason. The salt was not intended to burn the wounds. And the light was not to point in someone's eyes to interrogate. Light was meant to illuminate. And the salt means you've got to sprinkle it on that which you want to flavor. We're called to preserve the world. That means we got to get out in the world and be salt and light in the middle. Does that make sense? Jesus, when God became a human in the person of Christ, he didn't segregate himself to one and say, hey, this is holy ground, don't touch me. Did he? He dived right in the middle of our mess, rolled up his sleeves and took on our sins. And he who knew no sin was made to be sin so that you and I could become the righteousness of God. And now he leaves that same task to us, that we are royal ambassadors imploring the world to be reconciled to God. But that means we must illustrate the Christ-centered life. Because more than passing out tracts and standing on street corners and holding out signs or just being a bunch of weirdos that Christians can be, we need to illustrate the Christ-centered life to the world and how we conduct business in our families and in the local church. That we are trusting, because love always trusts, we are trusting God and his ways to make our paths straight. Does that make sense? But the reason our lives are so confusing, the reason that so many of our lives are so shipwrecked, the reason that so many of our lives feel like we're upside down is because our paths aren't straight, because we're not trusting the Lord with all our heart and leaning not on our own insight. And we're not in all our ways acknowledging him. Therefore, he cannot make our paths straight. Because sadly, if you look in verse 7, it says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. So many of us still think we're wise in our own eyes. We haven't surrendered. God wants to love us in every area of our life. God wants to lavish his love upon us. But he is a perfect gentleman. He'll never force his love upon us. I don't know who this guy is. I run across this quote, but I like what he said. He says, most people never heal because they stay in their heads, replaying painful scenarios. Let it go and start looking ahead. Leave the past where it belongs, in the past. I'm going to read it again. Most people never heal. I think that's right. The truth of it is, we preach a gospel of change, of do-overs, of second chances, that God's in the business of changing us and that people can, in fact, change. But I think most Christians, most people in the world, and particularly even Christians, believe that, nah, people really don't change. And the sad fact of it is, there's good evidence that most people won't change. Not because they can't change, they won't change. Because they won't allow their trusters to be healed. And they will carry a baggage of wounds all of the way to the grave. And the person that they're hurting the most is themselves. They won't allow themselves to be set free. If I had a bag of rocks, right, that represented all the things that had been hurtful or done wrong in my life, and I carried those rocks, do you think that would be a weight I didn't have to bear? But if you come along, let's say Chris comes in and says, man, let me just say, you don't have to carry those rocks. And maybe that was a new idea to me. I'm like, what? All my life, everybody else I see carry rocks. So you get wounded, you put the rock in the bag and you carry it. He says, but you don't really have to live that way. And I go, well, you're not toting any rock. He goes, I know. I'm passing on to you what was given to me. And he begins to take that bag of rocks and sets them down. What he just illustrated is what real freedom looks like. So while we celebrate July 4th and freedom, what are we free of? And what have we been freed for? We've been freed of the burden of our own sin. And we've been freed for the joys that's only in Christ. The fruit of the Spirit. But the reason that so many of us don't experience that is because we don't trust that as reality, because we trust our own delusions. Does that make sense? So going back to that final quote, and we'll wind down. Most people never heal because they stay in their heads. replaying the painful scenarios. How many of us are guilty of that? I think everybody in here. Replaying the same painful scenarios, when in reality, you know, we talk about, I've asked Christ in my heart, I've trusted Christ with my heart. What is that saying? Well, in the Bible, the heart was the place of the will. We often think it is the seat of emotions now, but it was the place of the will. I'm placing my will inside the will of God. Whatever He wishes is what I will do. So it's getting out of the scenario, the rewind, play forward, hit rewind and do it again in the head and start getting into the heart where we say, God, I don't know how. I'm trusting you. I'm trusting you. And when we truly trust in the love of God, we will experience freedom. Real freedom. Not this plastic freedom that we're, I mean, sadly, folks, there are going to be people, and I'm telling you, I'm an enormous fan. I hope it never is misunderstood. I think that the USA is the best country ever, but we're going to celebrate today freedom when presently we're in so much bondage in America, and it's not from an outside source. It's coming from within. Let it go. Start looking ahead. Leave the past where it belongs, in the past. May we leave here living in God's love, trusting Him, and learning how to trust others. Because when, whether it's a family, whether it's a church, whether it's a spouse, whether it's friends, when they learn to trust each other and they take seriously their love for each other to do actions where it's easy for the other to trust, that is a healthy relationship. And that's what Christ wants, not only between us and Him, but between us and each other. Make sense? All right, let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for today. Thank you for those here. And I pray, God, that you help us learn to trust, because love always trusts. That's the default position. Help us, God, to, Lord, take serious the wounds of our past, Lord, but let your love heal them. And may we leave the wounds in the past so that we trust and move forward on the horizon of hope. In Christ's name, amen. Have a great week.